Hello, my dear listeners. I'm not sure if this is reaching people, but it's always good to know that it might reach somebody. And if it is reaching to you, my heartily hello. This is the coronavirus pandemic time. These are interesting times. It's been more than a month since I can count the number of times I have left my apartment on literally my left hand's fingertips. But well, it is what it is. This is what we have to do to contain it. And it's trying times, and I think all of us are doing very well now. Things might actually, it's 18th now or 19th? It's 19th now, 19th of April. Things became alarming around, I would say, 10th of March. Before that, things were still in like, we don't know what it is and stuff like that. But now we are, I think things are more stabilizing now. I have been probably using this podcast to publish a couple of poems. Those two are like, I think, top of the line, mostly very aggressive poems, I would say, for a lack of a better word. But this one, I actually wanted to make a podcast today because something hit me very bad today. In the sense, I was standing in the line to a Safeway. Yes, that's what it has come to. Now, before entering Safeway, we have to stand in lines, which is, I mean, I'm not a complainer. If you have heard my previous podcast, you'll realize I am what is tagged as a nationalist person. So, well, this is what it takes to for the nation's good. If I have to stand in line in the sun or whatever, I mean, that be it. Everybody is doing it. If I have to do it, it's nothing worse. But I was there and I'm subscribed to Wired magazine. I don't know why. I mean, I know why. A, it is cheap. B, I feel like they are based out of NSF. And I feel I like to donate towards journalism sometimes because there are people who spend time to write something that I can read, and I like to make a payment, and they send physical copies, so which is good. But they've been getting on my nerves recently, and today this crossed this some I don't remember the name, but somebody just crossed the line out, and I just got really mad. I remember I used to have a New York Times subscription because I used following New York Times. I mean, they have a paywall or whatever, and a lot of times I don't know about the content. I don't want to go there, but at least they know how to put their headlines. So when you search for something which is an ongoing current issue, like their headline catches your eye, like, oh, this should be a good article. And next thing you know, you're like, you've exceeded the number of articles that you can see in a month, and then now you have to buy a subscription and something. They're like, and instead of scorching that somewhere else, I found that maybe just pay them, it's fine. It's not that expensive. I mean, not thankfully, by God's grace, not for me. But I did pay them for a couple of months, and the amount of bias I got, it was just startling to me, and I did not want to pay them more for the news. It's just, I figured that I was giving money to an organization which was strategically against somebody. I don't think it's too hard to guess whom. I'm an immigrant myself here. I'm on a visa and stuff or whatever. But I mean, a country's rules are the country's rules. You have to follow them regardless of whether you like them or not. I mean, there is it takes 20 years to get a green card of citizenship or whatnot. Like, I mean, is it just for me? No, it is for everybody. Well, then I can't complain. We should improve the system. What do you mean? What do you mean improve the system? It is, I don't want to say there and us. That's not the right term to use. But I mean, that's what the country has decided, and that's what they're following. So, I mean, be it. I mean, have they denied you something? Probably not. Have they made it hard for you to live in this country until you get that green card? No. I don't see the concern here. Anyways, that's another topic of another debate. But today I want to stick to this journalism that, I mean, so I stopped paying to them, and for whatever reasons, because I was like, they were just too biased. It was just too disheartening for me that, I mean, I could never, it was hard to find an article on the New York Times which was praising something that the government did. And America is a great country, okay? Clearly, people have been doing something useful. Like, if the job rates were going up, they were like, well, you know, these are not the kind of jobs that you want, which you anybody would want to do. Well, then how is it going up if people are not doing the jobs that they like? I mean, somebody's doing it. Somebody's home is getting food and water and like groceries. So like, could you be at least celebrate the fact that you have jobs? There are countries in the world who are struggling to find that level of employment, and you're disposing and dispensing such things, which is like, I mean, I found it a little disheartening. So that was just me. Could be just me. But Wired is usually a tech magazine, so I am like, it's by tech I mean, well, they have gadgets which are coming out. They sometimes follow the current affairs and news. Recently, like this, all those things that they have. But with the COVID, I think everybody, it's now a duty to comment on it. And the article that I was reading, it started, I mean, I took a snapshot of it. I usually don't do this because I had to. It's that sometimes what happens is you see something. I think that's what is happening. I mean, has happened to me, and that's why I think this podcast will kind of help me. Is that it's always good to know that I can at least speak my mind, and it'll at least log me. I can at least record myself that, well, I was not for it was not for nothing. So that if one of my dear listeners find something that, hey, you know, you don't make this right point. I don't know if people can comment on a podcast. I hope they can. I'd be more than happy to listen to other perspectives, because right now it's just me. I mean, I can post on Twitter, but like usually it's no, I have zero followers. Well, that's one. I don't know. Yeah, I know who. The article, I mean, it was named as The Plain View. I'll just read a few paragraphs from it because that just threw me off. Like, I mean, they say, you know, first impression is the best impression or things like that. I mean, I don't believe in it, but like, I mean, I read at least two and a half paragraphs and I was thrown off the wall. I was like, I can't read this. So it starts with like this, The Plain View. A few, double quote start, esteemed executives, economists, scholars, and industry leaders, quotes end, were startled this week to find that the president had publicly announced, which is underlined, probably it'll link somewhere, their participation in one of several, quotes again, great American economic revival industry groups, quote ends, intended to help kickstart the economy. Apparently, for some of these individuals, the White House was not meticulous about providing advance notice, let alone an opportunity to decline. Next para, there's nothing wrong with seeking advice from business leaders, though committees like this are usually opt-in. This is the group really the one that will yield the best or most innovative ideas? Question mark. Let's examine the list, which probably links to something else, of conscripts, which is divided up by industry sector. Next para, the first leader cited in the agriculture category is a lobbyist from Georgia named Zippy Doolin. I know that it's childish to make fun of someone's name, but starting off with a guy named Zippy isn't exactly, and I didn't even go after that. Like, this is sarcasm much. Like, this has like. So the way that I interpret this is that I know I heard on TV the other day, just the night before, that the president has appointed a committee of some people, and I thought the guy's name was Mark Cuban, who was being interviewed remotely by some reporter from PBS News or somebody. And she was asking him the same question. And the rhetoric was the same. The same rhetoric was from her that was in this article. Is that like she was the interview started with showing that this guy maybe in 2017 or whatever was saying Trump is not that good and like Trump is whatever it is, like, you know, not using best of the words. And these were what how he was introduced. And then you're like, then her points was like, I mean, have you tried to be here? What will you think? And like, and this, but the thing is, this guy, Mark Cuban, he was amazing. I mean, it was amazing to see a guy who was like, yeah, I mean, he said something which was unbelievably awesome. He said, I'll only recommend things that I'll recommend for my kids. If I don't think it is safe for my kids to go out, I'll tell the same to the president that I don't think it is safe for people to go out. Amazing, right? I mean, the person, if the way that you're thinking about other people is the way that you're thinking about your own kids, like, what you would want to be, you know, taken care by such a person. And he was excited. I mean, although this woman started telling him that, you know, it's very common knowledge. Her words were, it's very well known that the president only likes people who praise him. And like, he could just like, just nod in a little bit of a smiling face. I mean, this is a situation where any person who is self-respecting and wants to maintain a healthy debate, like, could be like, lady, like, that adds no value to the conversation. Why would you bring it up? Like, I mean, that's adding no value. Like, are you asking me, am I going to go and, you know, like, bow down to him, like, you know, shake myself in front of him? What do you want? Like, what is this? What are you trying to get out of this statement? But anyways, regardless of that, so I know this background. And then this article comes by, which is unbelievably sarcastically quoted. And this 2.5 paragraphs, all it is that they... All you can get is that they just, literally the way to read it is that these people have been forced, there's no opt-in, and the person's name is not correct, not right. And he's a lobbyist. And like, they have to be given a heads up and this thing. Again, building upon my point that I am belonging to a nationalist, an IST, I'm a lot of ISTs. If the country's supreme commander calls you up, tells you that I need your help, unless there is a family emergency or like God knows something which you can tell him then and there, and he would probably be like, well, okay, that makes sense. Sure, sorry. I mean, if you could make it, that would be great. If not, well, we'll miss you. You freaking go. You're like, well, what can I do? And any millionaire, billionaire, let alone anybody working on a Safeway for that matter, I believe, if he's called upon to do some duty for the country, like, I don't think they'll say no. But this person apparently has a problem. He wanted an opt-out button. Because his privacy is being attacked. God knows what this person is. I definitely don't want to remember this article or author's name. But that kind of drove this little bit of a rage in me. It's like, are you out of your mind? These are trying times. There is somebody who's trying to reopen the economy. And yes, there are debates. There are like, Twitter is flooded with articles and people with their opinions, which is what Twitter is meant for. So not that I'm prejudiced against it. You know, should we open, should we reopen? Now my feed, or somehow it so happens that the Twitter feed is more dominated by liberal and left-leaning people. So safety first, safety first, safety first. Obviously, I mean, I'm not saying that it is obvious, but it is hard to sometimes see that Germany is opening up schools. Denmark has already opened up schools and markets. People are getting back. It's like the world is in a bad state. Everybody's in a bad state. It's not just America. Everybody's in a bad state. Now, you can be a part of the problem or you can be a part of the solution. Problem will be there. People are working on a vaccine. There are people who are working day in and day out, crunching numbers, doing experiments, running through laboratories. You know, people are waiting to kind of, you know, hand wave some things which could have taken months just so that this thing ends faster. Like, everybody is ready, working on their feet. So why don't you think that the execution of the executive branch of the country should be prepared to reopen the economy, given how much it has already costed everybody, to at least give the market and people a glimpse of a hope that, wait, hold on, we are bouncing back. But no. How dare you do it without retweeting and replying to my comment? That's what the rhetoric I get. But anyways, that's my rageful interpretation, which is wrong. And that's what drove me nuts today. It was like, are you guys out of your mind? Like, what does that one man have to do to make anybody like him? Like, what does he have to do? I don't think, even if he hands over $1 million to everybody by his own hands, like, even then, like, I don't think. NPR is another example. And again, this is about journalism in general. It has been very disheartening to see the level and the state of reporting. This is nothing like a political battle. This is just a virus which just came from somewhere, and it is killing people. But the target is always, how is he replying? Somebody's taking credit. Now, I don't want to keep calling Trump, because just president is a better word, I think. We could have saved many more lives had we done this earlier. Like, California, I think, is the exemplification of a standpoint against the president, the current president, the sitting president, and the federal government, unless they are Democrats. Even California started their lockdown on 10th or some March. And the first case, it was reported around, like, in the world, was around when China reported on 31st December, right? And out of all the countries, all the states, I think New York and California are the two ones which have the highest number of ingress and outgress traffic from China. So, and I don't understand the American layout of federal and state very well. I know that about how India works, but I don't know much about how the US works. But the little that I know, that the governors can have a lot more power over their own states than whatever the chief ministers in India have over their own states. So Gavin Newsom just said lockdown, and it was like, no, I don't need anybody's authority. All of you sit at home. And people had to abide by it if they chose to. And which is great, right? But just to point it out that even it took him 70 days to realize that we are in a shitty space and we need to come back out of it. And the rhetoric here is that the president should have been much earlier to this. I mean, sure, if he would have, that would have been nicer. A lot of people might have been saved. But now that has happened, hold him accountable when you are going up for elections. Like, it is this, the basic fundamental concept of democracy that I see missing from all the places, be it India or be it the US or be it anywhere. I don't know about other countries, though, to be honest. Is that democracy is a system where you elect a person and then you go back to your work. If the presidency is for 4 years, after 3.5 years, you come back. I mean, it's not that you just disappear. You are keeping track of news. You're seeing what has happened. You're recording stuff. And then you take 6 months to decide whether you want the same guy again or not. Like, in the middle, just don't... Like, just be with the person. You have made a choice. Stick with it at least for 4 years. Like, if you don't like him, like, defeat him, like, in and out. Like, nobody vote for him. Like, may it be the worst defeat of a president in the history of the United States, of an incumbent president in the history of the United States, if he's so bad. But at least maintain a positive attitude towards the problem. I mean, look at other countries. If that is a problem, America has always been, the way that I look at it, is that you have only exemplified yourself and your history. I mean, there is no concept of looking sideways. Because unfortunately, when America wakes, the whole world is sleeping. So you can't just call people and be like, hey, what is it in your country? You have to wait until they wake up and they write about their things. Because that by the time they are, you are sleeping. And this is off topic, but it was very disheartening. Like, news articles, and you see any news, you know exactly what you're going to get there. All I want is just tell me what is happening. Frame it in as concise way as you can, so that I don't have to spend too much time on your article. And I will be a very loyal customer. I can pay you for that. If you just decide to not insert your opinion, news is fine. As long as it starts becoming opinionated news. You go to the right-leaning media like Fox News, like, the same thing. They have to somehow defend. They are like, you can see the defensive stance, and you go to CNN or other news, or like articles like these, and you can see an offensive stand. Just makes you wonder, like, I mean, so basically, where do I get news from? Where do I get the facts? All I want to know is what is happening. I will form my own opinions. I have way too many of them. And this is just so bad. I mean, it was the way the news is portrayed, it's just, I mean, I had this, I don't want to take too much time though. It's only 20 minutes. 20 minutes is a long podcast. I think this is, if this were a discussion, I would be open to listening other people's perspectives as to what do you feel. But it's just me speaking at right 2 a.m. in the morning. So yeah, I mean, I have recently found an app, Vino, on App Store. Amazing app. I think I would want to pay its... I can't find a way to pay them, actually. They have done an amazing job at the news, the way news has to be rendered. So I did this exercise. I went to App Store. I searched for news and I downloaded almost any and everything that had more than like 10 ratings. Just to find something where I can look at it. And because this is a very good time, you know, it's like not a good time, but it was a good time for that experiment that all the news is around COVID. So you can go and pick and choose. You know the rhetoric of everybody now. Like, and then there are people dying, there is problems happening, there's all over the world, like how is the reporting being done? And it is very easy to figure out who is trying to be as non-bipartisan as possible. When this Vino app, unbelievable. This is I would definitely recommend you to go to the App Store, search for Vino News if that shows up. It's an amazing app. It is based on threads. Basically, you subscribe to a topic, which is for them, they are hand curated and mastered. And they try it out. It's not too, I mean, it doesn't cost to just download an app and try it out for a couple of hours and just make a call, judgment call for yourself. But the concept of that app is extremely and unbelievably awesome. That is something that I was looking to architect, and yeah, but they've done a very good job at it. I'm very happy about that app. Again, stick to the facts. Don't pull in articles which are too opinionated and just show what you have found. Let the people form the opinion. We have all the time in the world. Like, everybody, either we have or we don't. And if we don't, like, we'll just... A person votes not because, I mean, I think, I don't think that is the way the world should work. This is just my opinion. If, in the sense that every person should vote based on the way that they want the government to work and operate for them. That is the premise of a democracy. Like, if in a democracy, you start voting based on some actions happening at some other location and you forming an opinion about them, then it's just all over the place. Like, I would say, I mean, as an example, I mean, it would be very, you know, people, border security, like people are not being like this, people are not being allowed in the borders. Now, regardless of my political opinion, I can't vote here. I'm an immigrant, I mentioned. So my opinion does not matter. But for me, if the borders are like closed down and all those things, I'm like, yeah, because like I come from a place where we see the same problem. We have people who, we also give out very low cost groceries, like subsidized groceries for poor people. You need to have a certificate for that, and you can go to some specific government outlet stores and you get like rice, wheat and oil and stuff, like grocery items, for a much cheaper price than you would get in the market. And but you need to have that certificate, and you only get it when your salary is below a particular limit, or you are like, you know, basically for the not so fortunate people in the country. And you have a lot of insurgent people who are coming from neighboring countries, entering a country just because there is loose border security, and they get their hands on that card because of the loose, well, state and like state legislative system, state execution systems. And then I, as a taxpayer, am paying for their money, and they take all that, they collect it, and they take it to their own country, and they feed their own kids. Now, it's a double-edged sword. Like, I mean, are you a monster? Can't you feed? I mean, I am, if that's what makes you think, then probably we should be sitting a little far apart from each other. Mm-hmm. But my stance on that is that, well, it is unfortunate that the world has had to draw these lines which we call boundaries and we call as countries. But that's the world that we live in. So if we don't respect it, like, the whole system is just going to fall apart. If they want help, if you are not able to feed your people, please ask my government. I am very sure they will be happy to help you in the right and in the rightly way. And then I will feel I've done some humanitarian work, that my tax money is going to that country as an aid, not being stolen from the stores which was meant for somebody else. Now, it's a complex argument to understand for some people, but then the fact that you're taking the tax money or they're taking my resources is not the problem, but the way that you're taking it is the problem. Now, I bring the same methodology here to the United States, and it becomes, there are immigrants in the country there are people at the walls who are trying to come. How could you close them? Like, there are children and all this. I mean, well, there has to be, as I said, right? I mean, I have been paying my taxes, do my things, job. I mean, I try to do, play by the rules of the book, and I'm not given any citizenship, and I'm okay with that because, well, that's what the rule says, and I'm not even getting fazed if you are just somebody standing at the wall at the border, enters the country, and they are like, through some documentation and some laws and order, which, like, there are so much constitution, they get a citizenship in 6 months. Why? Because, well, we are oppressed from that country. Wait, what? I mean, you could still be living on the same status that I am living. I mean, maybe make a parallel one. I don't know. But, like, but again, that is not my stance. I'm like, well, I don't care. I really don't care. I mean, I'm not having animosity against anybody. But if you ask me to decide and vote on it, would you have stronger borders or looser borders? I would say, yes, stronger borders make sense. I mean, be a little bit more stringent. That makes sense to me. I mean, if you want to have such loose borders, and if that is the strategy you want to follow, that let everyone in, I mean, go a step further, right? I mean, take a big plane, go to that affected area, pull in everybody and bring them in through the airport. Why are you making those poor people stand on the sand or some freaking hot sun in Texas somewhere? Like, get all of them from there, right? Send a big-ass military US Air Force flight, pull in all those people, bring thousands and thousands of them, land them at JFK or Miami somewhere, and then pull them in, make them citizens right then and there. I mean, then if you do something, do it well. Like, I mean, why do you have to wait until they risk their lives, cross an ocean, find, like, on foot for like 1,000 miles, walk to you, and then get inside? Go and fetch them. Like, we, which is, yeah, I mean, it's just taking that same argument to an extreme level and then asking them, why are you not doing that? Then, like, I mean, or is that the plan now, next time when there's something like this happens? So opinions are for people to have, and voting should not, and again, me sitting here deciding whether I should vote for this person based on that doesn't make any sense. I should be voting on things that, okay, am I getting job opportunities? Are here, like, is the social system fine here? Like, what do you want? Are the parks are clean? Things are going fine? There are other parts of the country which have different problems. So these cross-country issues becoming a factor of voting, it's just too much beyond me. I already think I'm way too off the hook, because way too off from the topic, because I started on journalism, and that's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make, is that these, when folks are not off news, and news is a very important part of a person's life, I think it shapes our personality. I mean, I follow Paul Graham. He's a well-known computer enthusiast, and some of the things that he has liked and commented and, like, made personal comments made me just face palm myself. I'm like, oh my god, if only you knew, if only I could sit with you for 5 minutes and get your attention for those 5 minutes. See, this is very important. When two people discuss, if the premise of the discussion is thus that I am waiting for you to say something shitty so that I can catch you on that one, and then, you know, and you sting back at you, then we can never have a healthy discussion. The premise of a discussion has to be that I am listening to you. I'm trying to sit in your shoes and trying to see that, oh, yeah, that's the part that I missed. And that's the same. I mean, just a little bit of a detour on the same border thing. I understand that there is a problem. I am completely empathetic to it. But then somebody has to take a hard stand, or else, like, this ship can't sail in this way. And that's my reply. I mean, and that's what makes me a little bit of a right-wing person. Because I do take that harsh stand. I mean, as I said, it is unfortunate that we have had to draw those lines which are called country boundaries. But now that we have them, I mean, we have to follow them. We are the ones who have... I mean, it doesn't mean that if somebody has a problem, we just go marching in their country and try to fix it for them. The US has tried it a couple of times. It hasn't worked out very well. Like, right? I mean, it has not worked out very well. Like, it is very common knowledge here. Veterans have tried their level best. They are still doing in some affected areas of the world. But, like, I mean, do they want to be there? I don't think so. Should they be there? Again, I don't think so. So then if you can't go there and fix their problem, like the solution is not to sit home and like kind of get them in here, right? I mean, it's like, I mean, how can we diplomatically attack the problem? If a country has a problem, if you think something is wrong, like how can we diplomatically involve people and make them self, you know, capable to fix their problems, rather than if you want money, sure, we'll throw money at the problem. I mean, US has so much money, they can throw money at the problem. But like taking an action and affecting your internal state because of their state, like that does that's just creating internal conflicts and battles which should not exist. Like, I mean, I think the news should be about like, how can we raise the average American standard of living? How can we improve the condition of the manufacturing industries? How can we solve the problem that there are jobs which need people, but there are people who need jobs and they are far away? How can we make this connection? Like, could we do something that people can go and work for some time and come back, their families are here, kids? I mean, there are so many problems in the country, which are logistical, infrastructure, organizational. Could you fix that rather than figuring out whether what to do with the poor kids or showing up at the borders? Like, I mean, do something with them. Like, I mean, solve this problem diplomatically. You have the UN for this, pull them in. You have all the countries, pull them in. Like, I mean, I think that's why there are these Stanfords and the Haases and all the places in the world, Waltons. Like, don't you understand, like, that the way to fix a problem, you don't fish for a man, you teach the man how to fish. And that's the thing I see at completely lacking and missing. You just want to go and fix the problem, which is, or like somehow take an action to fix somebody else's problem. And then that's what floats in, then you end up reporting it. And when you're reporting it, you're already gone. I mean, you have already created a rift in the country. So yeah, that's like a little bit of a, and yeah, that's a, not little bit, it's over almost 32 minutes now. If somebody has heard this till now, like, I will clap for you. I am clapping for you in my head. I hope I've made some very thought-provoking points again, all of these things. Again, I don't vote here. I am just somebody with some observations, and it just pains to see that the country can't align on priorities even in such trying times. If it were possible to align people rather than commenting and pointing that we are not doing enough tests, well, do you know the reason for that? Is it that somebody is holding off from making more tests happen? Or is it just the nature of the problem that we could only produce so many things even when everything is running at full throttle? What is it? Is there somebody who has told don't do more than 100,000 tests per day? Pretty sure that is not the case. So then the problem is somewhere else. What is the solution? Right? I mean, if the question would be like, how could we enable our local pharmacy store to be able to do such tests more scalably? What could we figure out? I mean, that would be a more constructive discussion rather than pointing out at the problem. See, it is always very easy to point a problem. Takes a lot of effort to figure out the solution. Again, I heard this, I saw this message some pretty recently. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. And yeah, it's anyways trying times, and I hope things align and this thing is beyond us. Not beyond us, behind us. Oh, it is late and I should probably sleep. Okay, this brings an end to my first non-poetic podcast. It's fun. It's good to discuss these things. I hope something comes up with this. Any listeners with more comments, I will be very happy and actually jubilant to see if I have been able to provoke some thoughts, and always happy to discuss and more feedback and comments. Thank you. Have a good day and stay safe. Wear a mask. If possible, don't go out. Hello, my friends. Good morning. This is almost 12:40 a.m. in the morning. And this is a very instinct initiated podcast, as this today is what date? It's 4:21, so this is 4:20 has passed.
and I had nothing. I was in my senses all day, so that should speak volumes. It's very, again, interesting times. Not much changes since the last one. I talked to 2-3 new people. And yeah, that was interesting. I don't want to go there right now, but there's something I read today, which was around the lines that somebody on Twitter posted that some left-wing person, liberal, that we should look into why the FDA was failed into recognizing this virus issue earlier. And I mean, I could find the actual tweet, but I don't think it's important. The idea that is important is they were accusing, as in general, Trump should have acted earlier and the states could have acted earlier. FDA could have detected it earlier. Like, I mean, I think according to that person, the day, like, in American, like, usually people are like, why are American intelligence agents here and like in other countries? And now suddenly everybody was like, why didn't we have intelligence in China? So like, it was very funny to me because it's very interesting because one of my favorite movies will always be The Dark Knight. And Joker is one of my all-time favorite characters. And he says, when the chips are down, all these civilized people, they're going to eat each other. He's not wrong. He never was. But yeah. And this person commented that, you know, CDA, FDA, and they should have come up. We could have saved so many lives and all that jazz. Like everybody in the world knew. Like, I mean, if you're blaming Trump that he reacted bad and whatever, like, can you point to me one country which is sizable, let's say a country which is bigger than the size of California in both size and population, who you would recommend that, okay, they did an awesome job, except China, because, well, they did an awesome job. Is there any country like Germany, France, Italy, UK, Russia? All of them are like struggling. People are struggling. It's a problematic situation. They are trying their best to come out of it. Now, the example they'll give is, look at Sweden, they were able to do it. It's a freaking in a corner, somewhere hidden in the cold. The virus didn't even go up that far. It was like, I'm enough effective here. I don't have to go up that far. Like, they'll give an example of some remote village in Peru, which was like, you know, these are the kind of examples you pull out. And then these are people with like a billion followers. Like, you can't even... And Twitter is not that place. Twitter is not the platform for discussion. It's more like you listen to them and you're like, okay. You know, it's like everybody, I think, has a watermark or respect. And it keeps going up and down sometimes. So yeah, so this guy said something like this, and there's some guy from BuzzFeed replied to him. You know, I think he made a sarcastic comment that these are the kind of people who, like, you know, haven't contributed anything and they have comments on everything or something, you know, just kind of saying that, okay, you know, what do you know about the CDC and all this, the FDAs and all those things that you're commenting. And then this guy suddenly replies saying that, well, I founded a biotech company which sold for $375 million, and that this was like, people were like going ballistic, oh man, he's a genius, this BuzzFeed guy didn't even know anything about this guy and this and that. And it was very cliche, to be honest, right? This has always been an ongoing debate in my head that, you know, what is entrepreneurship? You know, like, you have two people. One, set up a business, and let's take examples of, for example, Bill Gates, or the founder of Pepsi, or the founder of IBM, or Larry and Sergey, or Zuckerberg, for that matter, founders of VMware. Like, you know, companies which are established in the sense that their CEOs and their founders have long gone and dead and gone, and their companies are still surviving, and they're still, like, you know, changing hands and whatever is happening with them, adding value to the public. And then you have people like this guy, and then I read his profile. This guy has founded like 5-6 startups, everything has sold for over at least $200 to $300 million. Part of Anderson Horowitz, and like, you know, has invested in 10 different startups and God knows what and all. Now, who is a good person to exemplify? Like Bill Gates or this person? I mean, if I want to know, if I just want to make money and I want to get rich, I'll follow this guy. I mean, like, this guy knows how to study the market. He knows where to put, and he has put money in all the places. He has a biotech degree and he was a founder of Earn.com, which was taken by Coinbase. So it should have been a cryptocurrency company. And then he has also invested in some random places. So he just knows where to put his money and get the money out. And he was able to find one company, which I'm pretty sure was a very nominal idea, which was then overtaken by some company and the gates for shutter were closed. So if you are a founder of a company, if you're a founder of 100 companies whose pages after 2 years of your founding are a 404, then I don't think you should consider yourself that you have given something to the community. Like in 200 years, your wiki pages will be probably garbage collected by some demon which will garbage collect all the pages which have no traffic for the last 10 years. Whereas Larry, Sergey, you know, Bill Gates, the founder of Pepsi or IBM, Intel, they will still stay. People will want to know because, well, these are people who have shaped their companies, their ideas, their mission and their vision has stood the test of times. You freaking came up with, you just took the, I think there was the slang, you just rode the tide and then you had a company, somebody came along, say, oh, what are these guys doing? Oh, they might take some of our customers, just buy them and just throw them in a gutter. These people just, these kids just want money. And now they have this thing becoming, I mean, that's me. But as I said, if I were a person for whom money was more shinier than it usually is, I would appreciate this guy. I would like this Bill Gates. And look at what happened to Larry and Sergey now. You know, they're going out to their company. Look at Bill Gates now. Did so much and now he's just like sitting alone. He's like, what do I do? I'm like cleaning shit pots for other people, making cleaning water. I mean, that would be my perspective then because he's not having fun. He's not like, you know, juggling companies. He's not like founding other things, investing other things. No, he's just because Bill Gates realized because that's what you would become. You would become a philanthropist. Once you have seen that the seeds of your invention, like the number of families, the number of kids that go to schools and live happy lives, these are employees of Microsoft that are because Bill Gates gave them a company. I mean, he could have done whatever, but like there are so many people who have gone to college because Microsoft existed. There are so many people who use the Windows software and are thankful to him in some way or the other that their businesses are thriving because of Microsoft or Google for that matter, or IBM for that matter, or Amazon for that matter. I mean, those people owe it to those people, so many, right? I mean, and even today, like, I mean, I, for example, am a son of a banker. So if anybody comes up and tells me banking system is all stupid and rigged, I'm like, hold on, dude. Like, you know, let's have a debate on that. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to, like, pin you down and, like, tap you out, like, within 20 minutes, regardless of however genius you are. Like, no matter who you are, man, like, even Alex Jones, I pin you down in 20 minutes. I'm that good. Because like that runs in my blood, right? I mean, so banking system is something that has like, given the world, it's been 300 years of existence, right? Powering the world economies and like what you take away banks, what do you, the Bitcoin concept, you know, you don't want a middleman, you know, we'll all do it third party. Come on, are you freaking kidding me, you piece of shit asses? Like, oh, I'm sorry, should not use that word, but I mean, Hiroshi Nagamoto or some guy comes up with a crazy mathematical equation and you think the entire system is flawed. Why? Because 5 geeks with a laptop and the internet connection think that they rule the world. Are you out of your mind, man? Like, come on. I mean, yeah, I have very strong opinions on these things. But like, again, it's not strong. If somebody is like, I'm a cryptocurrency genius, I join my hands, great. You should invest, you'll become rich. I will work hard and make a living. It is fine. I don't have to, you know, take my shortcut way to it. It's fine. I'm having a good ride. I make enough money that I do good. I don't want to become a millionaire overnight. Like, it'll just not be too much fun for me. I'll end up spending it on shit that I probably don't need after like 5 days or whatever. So that's the thing, and that's again the circling back to this entrepreneur discussion. I like those kind of people, this guy, the Twitter guy, I'm saying. But then, would I want to work for this guy? No. Work with this guy? Probably not again. No. You know, because like you're an opportunist, man. I mean, you don't set your head to something. Like today, coronavirus is coming, so you have all the brilliant ideas about coronavirus and testing and whatever. Tomorrow, something else is coming, you do something else. I mean, you just like riding the tide everywhere it is going, and you just go where the flow takes you. Whereas Larry, Sergey, or like my Bill, or like anyway Zuckerberg, all these people, they are like, no, I mean, I want this. This has to stick. I want this. Like Zuckerberg today can like hand over his company to anybody and just take his wife and kids to like go wherever the fuck he wants to go. But he won't do it. No, he's like, no, I want to take this ship forward. I want to do something in the world. I mean, that's what I hope. I don't know what our HCL came, but at least Larry Sergey, I can definitely speak for. These guys stayed in the company until they made sure that things are good. And then they are now like, okay, you write this. We'll find something else to do. And it, after 25 years, right? I mean, that's enough. 20 years, some 22 years. Like, that's, what more do you want? So that was an interesting thought for me. It's like, yeah. He's very proud of his achievement, but I dare not even comment because then this person, because like, yeah, it's a difference of opinion and it is Twitter. So not the best place to have an argument over philosophical debates. Oh, it's already 11 minutes. So yeah, this was today's a little bit of a rant. Rant? No, it was just an observation today. Yeah, on a different note, yeah. I was having a conversation about somebody with yesterday, and today I also ended up browsing a lot of far-right websites, I think. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and that person mentioned, you know that this coronavirus is man-made, right? I was like, just jaw-dropped. I was like, what? What did you just say? I mean, it's not the question that kind of dropped my jaw. It's the obviousness of the question that dropped my jaw. It's like, wait, it's not that obvious, right? I mean, I don't think anybody has confirmed it yet. Like, even if you search Google for coronavirus man-made, like 9 out of 10 articles are about that. No, it is not. They are linking science and journals and whatnot that this could not be manufactured in a lab. At least that is what we believe for now. I was like, oh, I was like surprised. And this person was, I mean, well-educated, working in a tech company at a good position. So I was like, I mean, my follow-up question would have been just like, I mean, okay, do you think the earth is round or flat? I know where I'm, like, what I'm dealing with. But yeah, it's interesting sometimes how people have their opinions unshaped. And it is so hard sometimes these days to have conversations with people. All I wanted to know was like, what makes you think believe that? And even that was offensive to them, to her. Like, I don't want to talk on this topic because I guess my tone is somewhat like, I sound like I'm very condescending or, I don't know, arrogant or egotist. I've been told a lot of things. I have stopped caring right now. But yeah. Having a discussion with people. It's so hard here. But yeah, but on this note of discussion and the people protest about opening up businesses. Oh, yeah, it's, how is it going to be? I mean, all the AMCs are locked out, 24/7 might go bankrupt, all these gym classes, like social distancing is social distancing, but like, let's say for example of a gym, right? I mean, everybody's breathing there and heavily. I mean, like in a normal conversation, you have to maintain a 6-foot difference because that's how much your, you know, whatever, your droplets while you're speaking flow away. But if you're breathing heavily, God, you need like 20 feet of difference. Like, how would 10 people do gym together? Like, I mean, and the level of skepticism that people, I mean, and that I think in this way to be looking, I mean, I'm sorry, I'm the kind of person who always tries to look at positive and things, negative things and negative and positive things, just to keep the balance, right? But I think this is a good lesson for the American society. This will turn out to be a good lesson for the American society because now they'll have to believe that, I mean, this is to come out of it, they have to kind of, It's a very American thing, I believe, that you hold a strong opinion and then you don't do it. But I'm like, well, you have to eventually socialize. You have to go out to a restaurant to eat. There will be people around you who will cough and sneeze. I mean, you can't have a person who coughed behind you and you just stood up and start ranting at him. I hope that does not happen. I mean, if there is some person eating dinner or family eating dinner and there is somebody who sneezes at the back like 3 times and this person just gets mad and stands up like, you know, you should not be here, this is this and that and this is good. Like, dude, you are the dumbass here, it's okay, people do sneeze, like before coronavirus also people did sneeze. So this is going to be a test of American society, I think, and I am not sure how it is going to turn out. I've only lived in the Bay Area, so my sample space is very small. It will be interesting to see how things turn out. Here it was anyways, like, there's a trail behind my house. I went there a month back or something. There were people running, jumping in the middle of the day on a Sunday. No social distancing. I mean, social distancing is what social distancing... I mean, social distancing does not mean that you have to stand six parts apart. Like, if you are... In a restricted zone with 100 people walking around, you can walk 6 feet around with each other. But if you're breathing and those droplets will stay in the air, so like if you are 6 feet apart, but if you are crossing that same zone which people are crossing, like you are inhaling it. So anyways, it's, I don't think there were any people who were sick or whatever, but yeah, interesting. How are things going to shape up? If this thing is lasting till... I think people are trying to reopen shops and economies by first week of May. I'm just wondering how long the line of DMV is going to be. And the thing is, I think every time I've been to the DMV, a lot of people, mostly people are older there. Oh my God. That is going to be one hell of a place to go. I'm supposed to go to the DMV soon and I'm like, that would be an interesting visit with 6 feet apart and people backlogged by 3 months would standing in DMV, there were like six blocks of line. When you stand in the morning at 7 o'clock and then at 6 p.m., like, you're one block away. Now, tomorrow, you wonder, how would you write your name there? Like, okay, I was here. Yeah, it's going to be a very tough time. Very tough time. That's what I think. I hope I'm wrong. In other news, it seems Trump is cancelling immigrations. That'll be fun too. Lots of fun things coming up. And elections are also coming up. I thought it would be next year. I forgot. It's been 4 years since Trump became president. God. Yeah. It has been a long journey. I remember the night when he became president very vividly. I was jumping in my car. I couldn't believe that he actually did become the president. I was like, oh man, this is impossible. And all these people, the stand-up comedians and all, their faces were like just like, oh. They didn't even have to say anything. They just had to stand and look at you. And you could just start bursting in laughter. What happened to you? Huh? You've been abusing and, like, you know, demeaning him for the last 6 months. And look what happened. See, that is a fundamental of politics. And the sorry state of things is that I think the reason... I mean, I believe in karma. I do. And I think this is what is brought upon by themselves. You know, like, this is what politics has come to. People are here not attacking person for his policies. They are attacking him for his personality. That is the one thing I also suffer from here, and part of probably my reason if I'll ever go back. I can't live with people who judge you based on your words being said. What your word says, you have to be able to understand the intention sometimes. You need to be able to understand personalities. You have been abusing this guy for like, you abused him before he became president, then he became president. And you're like, the economy will sink, the world is gonna go down, Canada will become populated by Americans. Well, God knows what all random shit was said. Nothing happened. Like, literally nothing happened. And now, I mean, the way that I see it as a political gimmick, like, Trump is going to, like, slam dunk this thing. He's going to slam dunk this thing. Yeah. He's going to cancel H-1Bs. And if that happens next year, yeah, it'll be up in the air. Yeah. And because people are out of jobs now. They want jobs. And if he restarts this economy by June, I mean, even if we give him the benefit of doubt, by 1st June, if 20% of the market is up, and he's able to give people employment and raises, he's already distributed a lot of money. So people are not that mad at him. And if he somehow ends up giving them jobs by the end of July, August, and their paychecks start flowing up again, if he reboots the economy, oh, Trump is president by a landslide margin. I mean, Joe Biden would like just, he wouldn't even know what came and hit him. Like, Joe Biden, come on, he's so old. He's so old. Come on, Democrats. You can't find, like, please find somebody who's, like, just 60. Like, do you have to have a fight between, like, a 70-year-old and an 80-year-old? Could you not find? No, nobody has. There is no Democrat who is charismatic enough that they could put up in front of Trump. I mean, that is just a fact. Out of that entire stage of all the Democrats, there was not a single guy who could have the audacity to like stand in front of Trump and be like, I'm sure he has something fun to say. Go on, Trump. Why don't you say something? Well, go on, President. Why don't you have said something here? Well, because the thing is, you are playing to his game. You are not playing to your game. Your game is just, he's an idiot. We want Trump out. We want Trump out. Why? Why do you want him out? Who gives you this authority to make this blanket statement that he should be kicked out? What did he do wrong? Look at what he said. What do you mean, look at what he said? Are we like college kids, like teenagers? Like, what do you mean what he said? How do you, please prove some numbers. Please get some numbers out. Please, you don't have to convince him. You have to convince somebody else. He will keep. And that's what is hitting them. That's what he's leveraging. That's what he did with Hillary. They were like, shut up. And he was like, man. It's like, you know, Spice Girls are fighting amongst each other. I don't know. It's been a long recording now. I feel asleep. It's 1 o'clock. I'm blabbering. All right, guys. Let's see what happens. The economy has to reboot somehow. Trump is president. 2020 he becomes again, then what's going to happen? Nothing is going to happen, I think. What will happen? I mean, 2016 he became president and these people were thinking that there'll be like white supremacists running in like, you know, Ram trucks, like killing people with like automatic rifles. Like, that's how they projected. Nothing has happened. Everything is just fine. He'll again then become the president for 4 years. He did nothing to immigration. He did nothing about immigration. He just like undocumented people he kicked out. Well, even Obama was kicking out, if you look at the numbers. Actually, in Trump's time, that number has come down. The number of undocumented illegal immigrants being kicked out. That number came down, yeah. I mean, it's a government agency which is doing its job. Like, I mean, Trump can only tell them, okay, do your job. Okay, do it good. Like, even Obama did not say anything to them. Okay, do your job. So that is of no use. Other economy is economy. Economy keeps on going. I mean, it always is going. Presidents can come and go. Economies don't depend on presidents. Economies depend on a whole different set of things. And apart from that, see, the police shootings didn't, like, I think there were more cops, I don't know, what, black people killed by white people, things like that. More in Obama's era than they were in Trump's era. So, I mean, I'm sure he can come up with numbers like that. If you look at the numbers and stats, it will be very discouraging to see that nothing has gone bad. And that is the thing that Democrats clearly know. That is why their only argument is, he's an idiot. Why? Because he said that. I like listening to Trump. It's fun, no? Is it? It's like, I mean, you listen to Bill Maher, you listen to John Oliver, you listen to Jimmy Kimmel or all these guys. Same old content, same old style. I mean, you listen to Trump every time he has something new to say. Like, I mean, there's this lady I saw recently. He's like, you have declared yourself a king. And he said, yes, I have declared myself the king. Next question. Like, I mean, come on. Like, what are you expecting? Like, I mean, a question is formulated depending on the person you're asking the question. If you want some information out of him, you better ask him the question which he likes to answer. This is basic human etiquettes. It's like people have just, they are still not able to come out of the hangover of Obama. They just are not, they are in complete denial that we are not being ruled by that black guy. They are just in denial. Why is he not charismatic? Why is he not charismatic? The Obama is coming. Oh, he answers that and this is this. Wait, guys, wait. He could rule for 8 years. He did a good job. Now, you can't get the same guy every time. I mean, if you had so much, like Hillary would have become the president. I was like, that would have been bad. I think that would have been bad. Yeah, if I had to vote, I would. And I was forced to vote. I would vote for Trump. Hillary, no. Nothing impressive about you. Nothing. Like, nothing. Like, I don't think anything. Like, you would go to Russia, you would go to SAARC summit or like this G7, G8 summit, and Hillary has decided to not talk to Trump, not talk to Putin. Why? Could you tell me how many American citizens have Russian people killed in the last 20 years compared to the Muslims? How many American citizens, plus army men, plus veterans, plus anything, anybody who has had an American passport for that matter, how many such people have been killed by Russians versus how many such people have been killed by Muslims? Convince me, what has Russia done that you should be such an enemy to them? They have no answer, just patriotism. What patriotism? Did they ever attack you? Cuban missile crisis. Did they do anything? They were stocking up. You listen to yourself, for fuck's sake. You listen to yourself. I mean, not even once have they fired a single weapon on you. But for some reason, they are your biggest enemies. You have Muslim, you have... I don't want to go into who is your enemy or not your enemy or whatnot. But like, I am baffled by the fact that why do Americans hate Russia so much? I don't know. I have not lived here. So the little that I know is that, okay, you should consider a person your enemy if you have some physical or sociopolitical, some sort of a threat from them. Russia helped Trump become president. Well, such a big deal. What did the Supreme Court say? What is the Supreme Court's verdict? Cuomo, some God knows what investigation happened. Nobody has any idea. Like, that dragged for so long. I mean, if it was that obvious, it should have taken less than 2 years to figure out and, like, impeach him. Clearly, it took more than 4. So something would have been fishy. And are you telling me that America, the leader of the world, free world, like, I mean, some country just comes, infiltrates your electoral system and you don't even figure it out, huh? Like, I mean, in India, we have better system. We have, like, that roll system. There have to be machines that have to be collected. And if there is going to be booth capturing, there is a term for it called booth capturing. If booth capturing is not happening, that means election is not rigged. And booth capturing happened, that is extremely quick because every booth is connected to the central system. It is known this booth is compromised. Don't discard this booth. Even India has like extremely strong measures to avoid these kind of things. And that's why we moved away from the ballot paper to the electronic voting machines because of electronic, those ballot papers were getting like conned in and out. Like, I mean, people would print their own ballot papers and like push it there. So that we used to have rigged elections, not anymore. And you are telling me that the Facebook's political ad campaigns. I see. I reserve my opinion to it, but if I have to make a stand, I'll be like, it's an ad. You have to decide who you have to vote for. So there is a reason why the age for voting is 21 years, because governments usually consider that 20 by 21, you probably know who you want to vote for. So an ad or a bunch of money or some girl showing you tits if you vote for Trump should probably not convince sway your vote towards his direction, right? So use your own judgment at that. Like, I mean, Cambridge Analytica did this. I mean, you know, all is fair in love and war. Politics is no less than war. Just, you know, you just got played down fair and square. That's what I think. And with the way things are going now, I think Joe Biden will find it very hard to... Yeah, but out of all of them, like, yeah, Bernie Sanders would have gotten a heart attack in front of Trump. <He's> like, he would have mocked him way too much. Joe Biden, I don't know, I have not heard him speak. He has referred, yeah, the two or three times I've heard him, like, he sounds like somebody who's, he's old, very old, like, really old. Yeah, interesting times. We'll see. Now I'm definitely going to sleep. Alright guys. This was a very long conversation. Don't think anybody is going to listen to it ever apart from me, but it'll be fun. The time is good. 1:11. Oops. Alrighty. Good night. Stay safe and inside. Bye-bye.